Well, if you would please turn to page 3 in your worship guide. And listen carefully as I read from God's Word. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 14. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. This is the word of the Lord. All right, let's pray. Father, as we gather around this text, I just pray that your Spirit would be moving in and amongst each of us here. Lord, that he would give us open ears and open hearts to receive from you what you have to say to us. And Father, I pray that as I speak, that you would grant me boldness, that you would grant me clarity, that you would help me to speak with passion. And Lord, glorify yourself during this time through your Spirit, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. For those of you that don't know, as Paul said, I'm Josh Olson. I am a member here at Ironworks Church. And as Paul also mentioned, Darren is away celebrating with a dear friend of his and a mentor of his, someone who actually pastored Darren. And he's out celebrating as this person is moving into a new area of ministry and becoming the pastor of a new church. And so while Darren was away, he asked if I would fill in for him. And I count it both an immense privilege and a huge responsibility to lift up and exalt Jesus through this word here this morning. So with that, let's just go ahead and jump right in. And as we do, I want to just ask you a few questions as we start. Do you ever struggle in the day-to-day to just walk with Jesus, to trust him, and to obey him? I know in the everyday frustrations and the everyday heartaches of life, it becomes a struggle to trust in Christ. Or perhaps, do you sometimes struggle with the fact that life can sometimes just be so mundane? We get up, we go to work, we come home, we eat dinner, clean up, go to sleep, get up, go to work, do it all over again. Or perhaps you're at home and you're chasing after little ones, and it's just a constant, endless cycle of soiled diapers. It's a constant, endless cycle of cleaning up one mess, and as you've cleaned up one, three more have been made. Or you're doing the laundry, and it seems as soon as you finally are able to find time to fold it and put it away, there's a huge pile of clothes next to the washing machine again. Do you ever get bogged down with the fact that life can sometimes just be so mundane? Or perhaps this morning you find yourself in the midst of deep grief, overwhelming sorrow, or an immense difficulty, and you are wondering, it's hard for you to even pay attention because you wonder, how can I possibly make it through what I'm going through right now? Is there an end in sight? Friends, all of these are very important questions. They get at really at the core of who we are. And I'm excited about what Jesus has to say to us this morning because I think he addresses each of these issues for us. He meets us where we're at in our need, and he says, friends, if you would abide in me, you would find the answers that you're looking for. And that's what we'll be talking about here this morning. We're going to be talking about what it means to abide in Jesus. And we'll also be talking about why it's important. I know before I set out to do anything, and it's going to be a lot of effort, what I want to know is this important enough for the effort that I'm going to have to put into it? And so, as we start, I want to start out with this question. Why is it important that we abide in Jesus? There's several reasons from this text that we can look at, and we'll look at three this morning. The first is that it's literally vital. It's life or death. I remember when Becky and I first moved into our new house last year, we noticed that the side of the house was very nicely landscaped. There's a beautiful garden with a rose bush, some lilies, and this beautiful vine that kind of comes up and wraps itself around part of the porch, the side of the porch. But then as you would wrap around to the front of the house, right where you enter in, there's these dead bushes. And what we found out later is that the previous owner was in a relationship with somebody that had gone south, and that person was very vindictive, apparently, and they decided that it was a good idea to poison the previous owner's bushes because they were not having a good time with them anymore. And so what happened is this person poured the poison into the soil, and the roots of these bushes soaked it up. And sure enough, the entire bush died. No blossoms, no leaves, just death. And what Becky and I ended up having to do is we had to dig up these bushes and we had to just throw them away. Because that's all they're good for. They're ugly, they don't serve any aesthetic purpose, and there's no way that they're ever going to bear fruit or any blossoms. So we threw them away. And that's pretty much what Jesus is saying here as well. In verse 2, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, that's the vine dresser or the gardener, he takes them away. And in verse 6, he says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch, and it withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. What Jesus says is if we don't abide in him, we will not bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, eventually every branch that's not bearing fruit, it's not serving its purpose. And so the only thing that it's good for is fire. And what's sobering about this analogy here is when Jesus talks about these branches, he says that they're in him. You see that in verse 2? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. That means that there's a way to be connected to Jesus, but not to abide in him. There's a way to enjoy him for a season, but then to grow dissatisfied. There's a way even to love him for a season, but then eventually to walk away. To know him, but not bear any fruit of that knowledge. And friends, this causes me to pause as I see people I know, that I trust, who've mentored me, walking away from Jesus. It causes me to pause and to ask, how do I know if I am on this trajectory? How do I know if I am on this path? And I believe our text is very helpful for us in this way. It makes it pretty clear. Jesus says it's every branch that does not bear fruit. And then he goes on to say, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. So friends, if we are abiding in Jesus, we will bear fruit. And as our texts will bring out, and hopefully it will become even more clear as we continue on this morning, the fruit that Jesus is talking about here is love and joy. And so, as we pause and say, how do I know if I'm on this path to walking away from Jesus? We have to ask ourselves, am I bearing the fruit of love and joy? Is my life characterized by a love for God, by a love for other people? And does that love produce joy? Because there is a way to serve people, but to do it begrudgingly, right? And the way we know if we're truly loving somebody is if we have joy as we do it. And so this is one of the reasons why it's so important that we abide in Jesus, because it's literally life or death. We are either abide in him and bear fruit, or eventually we're going to be cast aside. Never to know Jesus, never to know his blessings again. The second reason why it's important that we abide in Jesus is in verse 5, he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But what exactly does Jesus mean, apart from me, you can do nothing? In a very real sense, it is true that apart from Jesus creating and sustaining power, we literally can do nothing. It says that the whole universe is upheld by the word of his power. And elsewhere it says, in him we move and live and we have our being. So we literally could not blink, we could not breathe, our hearts could not beat apart from Jesus. But I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here. I think what he's saying is apart from abiding in him, we can do nothing that's of substance, nothing that's of eternal significance, nothing that will ultimately glorify God. Most of us have been following the Olympics to some degree or another, whether your eyes have been glued to the TV each night or maybe you just catch the highlights on the news. Most of us have been following them to some degree or another. And I think what Jesus is saying here is it's kind of like someone who's training for the Olympics. And when you train for the Olympics, you have to basically set aside everything else, right? And you just your entire focus is on training for whatever sport that you are in. And it's like someone who's done this and they go into the preliminaries and they just blow away the competition. They do immensely great. And then they get to the Olympics and they come home empty-handed. No gold, no silver, no bronze. See, it's great to train. It's great to do fantastic in the preliminaries and to win them. But ultimately, what you want is to bring home a medal, right? And what Jesus is saying here is, you can do all sorts of good things apart from me. You can be very successful. Maybe you can climb up the corporate ladder and perhaps you can own your own business and it can thrive. And you can even be a nice guy. You can help that person across, that elderly couple across the street, shovel out their driveway and their walkway. But apart from me, you can do nothing that's of eternal significance. All of those things will ultimately fall short. But on the flip side, what Jesus is saying is if we abide in him, even the mundane of life can be filled with eternal significance. Elsewhere in the scriptures, it says that whether we eat or whether we drink, we should do all to the glory of God. And there's nothing that's much more mundane than eating and drinking, something that we have to do every single day in order to sustain life. And what Jesus is saying is, perhaps you feel like your life is mundane. Perhaps you are that one who's chasing around the little ones, constantly changing their diapers and constantly picking up their messes. And what Jesus says is, if you abide in me, those moments can be filled with eternal significance. You can glorify God even in the monotony of life. So as you go to your 9-to-5 job that you work just so that you can put food on the table and pay the bills for your family, you can have eternal significance. You can glorify God as you abide in Jesus. This is why it's so important, friends, that we abide in him so that we can have immense meaning and significance to our lives, even in the mundane. And the third reason that we'll point out here this morning as to why it's so important that we abide in Jesus is that it will ultimately result in a full and sustaining and life-giving joy. In verse 11, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Dear friends, don't miss what Jesus is saying to you, though. He doesn't want to just give you some generic joy, but the very joy that he has in himself. This is a joy that if we possess, can and will sustain us, even in the times of deepest grief and sorrow. See, Jesus isn't naive. In fact, he knows and has ordained that we will face difficulties in this life, and that if we were to face them on our own, they would literally devastate us and bring us to despair. If you read on just a little bit further on in John, you will see that Jesus is actually preparing his disciples for some immense difficulties and trials. And he knows that this is going to happen, and he wants them and he wants you to face every tragedy, every heartache, every disappointment with a heart that rejoices that God is in it all and will one day, he will rescue us from it all. Friends, I want this joy for myself, and I want this joy for you. And that is why it's so important that we abide in Jesus, so that we can face trials and tragedies alike, armed with indomitable joy, joy that will sustain us. I hope you can see that it's so important that we abide in Christ. Now that we know that, it's time that we ask, what does it mean to abide in Jesus? I understand it's so important. I want to do it. How do I do it? What does it mean to abide in Jesus? And as I was thinking about this and meditating on this passage, something bothered me. Perhaps it bothered you when I read the passage out loud, or you read it before the service. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. This is bothersome to me because basically it makes Jesus sound a little petty. I mean, how many of us would want to be friends with somebody who will only be our friend if we do what they ask us? I'll be your friend if you do stuff for me. Yeah, then I'll be your friend. And I'll love you, you know, as long as you do stuff for me. You know, when I'm picking my friends, I'm not picking a friend who's that fickle. I'm not picking a friend who's that petty. I want a friend who will stick by me even in the tough times. And so this bothers me. And so I was like trying to figure out, is this really what Jesus is saying? Because it doesn't match with what the rest of the scriptures are saying about Jesus. And I think there's some clues that will help us kind of understand exactly what Jesus is saying. Verse 8, he says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." So we're talking about this vine. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And as we abide in him, we'll bear fruit. And what Jesus is saying is that bearing fruit is what proves that we're abiding in him. Verse 12 also is helpful for me in this. He says, this is my commandment. So when Jesus says, if you obey my commandments, if you do what I command, this is what he's commanding. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So built into this command is the love of Jesus, as I have loved you. So it's not that I will only love you if you obey my commandments. It's you prove that I have already loved you if you obey my commandments. You are going to bear the fruit of love for other people if you abide in me. That's how you prove that I truly am your friend. That's how you prove that you truly are my disciples, is that you bear this fruit. And it says, as I have loved you. And so what Jesus is saying to us is abiding in him is as simple as abiding in his love. So what does it mean to abide in Jesus' love? What is the love of Jesus that we need to abide in? Verse 9 says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. So what are the ways that God the Father has loved Jesus? Because Jesus is saying, as the Father has loved me, in the same way I have loved you. So let's just think about how God the Father has loved the Son. There's a couple of places in the scripture that just makes it abundantly clear. In Luke 3, Jesus is going to be baptized in the Jordan River by his cousin, John the Baptist. And when he's baptized, the Holy Spirit descends upon him in bodily form like a dove, and the heavens open up, and God the Father speaks directly to his Son. He says, you are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And similarly, he takes the core of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, up a hill, and Jesus reveals his glory to them. And God the Father once again opens up the heavens and says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And so we see that God is pleased with Jesus. He loves Jesus immensely. And there's nothing in Jesus that could bring him displeasure. And so Jesus loves us in the same way. He is pleased with us. And as you think about it, friends, God the Father's love for Jesus did not begin when he was baptized. It began before his earthly ministry. It began before he entered the womb of the Virgin. God the Father, what does it say in the beginning of John? In the beginning, the Word was with God. And how does John describe God himself in his epistle? He says, this God is love. So from eternity past, God the Father has been loving the Son infinitely in an unchanging way. His love for his Son is eternal. It's infinite. It's unchanging. And what Jesus says to us in this passage is, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I have loved you eternally. I have loved you infinitely. I have loved you in an unchanging way. That is how Jesus loves us. What's interesting, though, if we read on to verse 13 and 14, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Jesus loves us in the same way that the Father has loved him, but he also loves us in a way that God the Father could never love his Son, because the Father loves Jesus in all of his perfections, but Jesus loves us in all of our sin. And he's willing to lay down his life in order to show his love for us. There's no greater love than this, that Jesus would lay down his life for us. So what he's saying, he is the vine and we are the branches and we're to abide in him. But friends, we failed to do that. We failed to abide in God as we ought. We failed to love God and we failed to love other people. And what Jesus is saying here is, yes, it's vital that you abide in God, but you failed to do so. And so I will be as the branch that withers and that's no good, that's only worth being thrown away. And so Jesus is cast away. He's crushed under the judgment of God the Father in order to demonstrate his love for us, in order to graft us into the vine. We cannot abide in God on our own, but Jesus is cast off into the fire to be burned so that we can be brought in to the love of God and we can abide in it forever. He's cast off so that we can glorify God. We who once could never glorify God in anything that we do, we can glorify God. He is cast off so that the very joy that brought him through the most difficult time in his life, it says, as we recently have studied in Hebrews 12, that it was for the joy that it was set before him that he endured the cross and despised its shame. He is cast off so that that joy can sustain us as we go through the most difficult trials and tragedies of our life. This is the love of Jesus. And he wants you to abide in this love. He wants you to know it and to trust it. Friends, that is what we celebrate here at this table. What is this that we will be drinking? It's the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine that's crushed under God's judgment so that we can drink deeply of his love. This is the table of his love, and he wants you to drink deeply and to abide in it as you come to this table. And what happens is, as we abide in God's love, what will inevitably happen is we will bear fruit. We will love other people. We will lay down our lives gladly in order to serve them. We will love God with an immense, deep connection and trust in him. So come. Drink his love in deep, and may we go from this place loving each other, loving God, and laying down our lives for those around us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, who was willing to be cast aside, to be crushed under God's judgment so that we could be brought in and abide in your love forever. Father, I pray that as we drink of this love and eat of it here at this table, Lord, that you would nourish us in such a way that we would be empowered to go forth from this place, armed with joy and armed with love, and that we would lay down our lives with joy for those whom you've brought into our lives. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.